All right, guys, we have a very, very special guest. We have the host of the Latinos in Real Estate Investing podcast. He's a sales expert, master consultant, real estate investor. He's the founder of the Elite Sales Consulting Group, responsible for propelling annual revenue and literally building companies up from the ground up. He has an ebook, Elite Strategies, helping you get from where you are to where you want to be in life. And he also has another book coming out. Martin Perdomo, the Elite Strategist. What is going on, my man? Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate you, man. I really, really, really am grateful for to be here. I have that book, and I have a physical book. So that's an ebook. I have a physical ebook, a physical book that I'm actually working on, and we kind of talked about it a little bit the other day.
Yeah, my Zoom account didn't like me. They were like, "Nah, Sean, you recorded too many free episodes." So we got to start charging. So they kicked us off, but you know, the deal, it is what it is. Us entrepreneurs trying to bootstrap as much as possible. But yeah, man, just to go right back into the book, I mean, you're looking to get this, what, Q1 of 2021. So I guess kind of yes. Tell the audience what you're looking to do with it.
So, you know, as I was telling you yesterday, when your Zoom was acted up the other day. So this book, right? I started telling you when I was 14 years old, from the time I was 14 to the time I was 16, Sean, my mom had kicked me out 9 times, right? So I'm a mindset strategist, right? I'm a real estate entrepreneur. And, you know, what I really focus on is on the mindset aspect of things. See, what happens is a lot of people don't understand, Sean, that success is 80% mindset, 20% skill set, and that equals 100% success, right? 80% of the game is the 6 inches between your 2 ears, right? That's 80% of the game, the conversation you're having in your head. And, you know, as a 16-year-old kid, from the time I was 14 to the time I was 16, and I want to illustrate this for you, the time I was 14 to the time I was 16, my mom had put me out 9 times. Right. And I remember, Sean, I remember sleeping in New York City, sleeping in trains, sleeping in rooftops, sleeping in the beach. And I just remember having this desire, working at McDonald's, just having this burning desire, right? This burning desire to succeed. And I would have these conversations. I had no idea what I was doing, by the way. It was just kind of out of anger. It was just a young man just out of anger trying to prove the world that I, you know, that I'm gonna be something, that, hey, you know, this is, I'm gonna make it happen one way or another. And I didn't realize what I was doing. I had no idea, right, what I was doing. And the other day, or the weekend, I put a picture up on my social media, which I mentioned to you, of my 16-year-old version and my 42-year-old version. I'm 42 years old. And I thought to myself, what would my 16-year-old self, if he got to spend one day, that 16-year-old with that pain, that anger, that you know, sleeping in trains and that desire, that hunger to succeed, what would that 16-year-old boy say if he got a sneak peek to spend a day with his 42-year-old version? And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and I was like, you know, this 16-year-old kid, he would be like, man, dude, we've done what you're doing. You got how many houses? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't believe it. Like, he just wouldn't believe it. You are doing what? You're teaching, you're coaching, you're mentoring. Like, how do you do that? When I hate school so much, right? As a 16-year-old, I used to hate school. I was a CD student. How do you do that? How do we wind up here? You married that girl? Holy shit, you sleep with that every night? Like this is what this 16-year-old kid would be saying to me, right?
Hit the jackpot.
Right? So... but however, right, my 42-year-old version will look at this kid and say, you know what, though? You know what, kid? It was you that got us here. It was your toughness. It was your grit. It was your desire. It was you that transformed us to here, right? Without those experiences, we wouldn't be who we are today. So I created this book. Right. I'm creating this book. I got 3 chapters left to write. I'm creating this book, and it's to teach people the strategies that I have learned along the way. Right. because now I've read so much, dude. I last year alone, I read 52 books, right? That's not including the events I've been to. You know, I know guys that read a lot more than that, but I've read so much, I've grown so much over the years. And so I'm creating this book to teach the strategies, right, in one book, in one place, to help people get out of their own way, right? So I also host the local real estate investors meetup, and I coach a bunch of new investors that want to invest. And people would come to my event. People come to my event, Sean, and they think, right, it's called the Strasburg Real Estate Investors Club. And they expect for me to just talk about real estate and for me to give them all these strategies, right? And all these cool things. Hey, go do this and go do that. And this is this and this is that. And here's what they find when they come to my event, right? They come to my event and I give them some strategies, but I spend 80% of my time working on their mindset. And I have a student, one of my students, he comes to one of my events, right? And he's like, you know, why is this guy talking about mindset so much? Right? It's supposed to be a real estate investors club.
Yeah, where's all the tips and strategies? Yeah,
where's all the strategies for tips?
Is this,
right,
a rip-off or something? Come on, man.
So he comes back again the next month. And here goes this guy. He's telling me what he's thinking. He's like, here goes this guy again with this mindset stuff. Right. What the heck is going on, right? Here goes this guy with this mindset stuff. And then he comes back the third month. And he's like, then it kind of like clicked, right? He was like, wait a minute. Maybe that's the recipe. Maybe that's the thing that I'm missing. This is why maybe I'm failing. Up to that point, this man has spent about $60,000 in education and real estate investing education. And he knew all the strategies. He knew everything. I mean, he knew all the strategies. He had spent about $60,000 with one of those big companies. But yet he hadn't done a deal yet. He hadn't done a deal yet. So he became one of my students. And he did a deal in his first 90 days, right? Because I worked on his mindset. So another thing is, a lot of people don't know that I'm also, you know, I'm a certified trainer speaker, but I'm also a hypnotherapist. I'm a certified hypnotherapist as well. So
sure, yeah.
that gives me the ability and the training, I would say, to help people break out of their own way and break out of their shit. You know what I mean? In their head, get out of their head.
Yeah. And I want to kind of dive into this because I was telling you before my Zoom took a shit the other day. Psychology is something that I am so fascinated with. I think the human mind, I think I was telling you yesterday, we have what, like 40,000 thoughts, and you know, a majority of them are negative. And you can really determine in your mind whether you want to have a successful day or you want to be stagnant. So I kind of wanted to walk through, like, if I was coming to you, if I was at one of your, great coaching seminars and meetings, and I was like, you know, Martin, like I'm just like the student, right? I'm 23 years old. I've spent, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars, thousands of books. I know all the strategies, but I'm still failing. I don't get any deals. You know, what's something that you would tell me to kind of say, you know what, Sean, it's all about the mindset, like, but in terms of actually visualizing it and turning that into deals, I guess, what would you really say? What's something that you could tell me as a young investor?
The first thing I do is I pay attention to the language you're using, right? Okay. The language you're using. Let me give an example, right? You could say, hey, I've read all the books, I've done all the things, and I've tried all these things, and let's just say nothing's worked, right? And when you use the word try, so I'm also a linguistic, I'm certified in linguistics, right? As a hypnotherapist, that's part of the training we get in language, the way we use our words. And the way you use your words tells me a lot about what's happening in your head. When you use the word try, for instance, I'm going to try, right? Let me put it into practical terms. So there is the Last Dance by Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's a little bit baby. I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Okay, so you saw it.
Yeah,
okay,
crazy.
Perfect. So I'm a mindset guy. So I'm watching this thing. And I'm watching it from a winner's mindset perspective. I'm studying Michael Jordan, but I'm studying his mindset. You know, at the end of that thing, he said he wanted to go for seven chips, right? He was like, we wouldn't know unless we tried, right? That's just a winner. Like, shit, if we would have gone one more year, you never know. We could have won again before they broke him up. And then he was asked, if you go, what would happen if you won seven? He would say, I would want to go again, you know, until I just, I just can't go no more. But when he came back from just greatest, the sportsman of the century, Michael Jordan was labeled, right? When he came back after going to his craziness of playing, when he came back after playing with the Sox, when he went to play baseball for a season, he comes back. And he came back, but he wasn't in, you remember, he wasn't in basketball shape, right? He said his body wasn't in basketball shape. But remember what he said, right? In games, I think it was game seven, and I can't remember what series that year, if he was playing the Knicks or the Heat. I think it was the Heat. I think he lost to the Heat that year. Yeah. And he lost to the Heat in the semifinals, the Eastern Conference semifinals. Mm-hmm. And he was walking out, and his trainer came to him and said, hey, Michael, when do you want to start training again? I know it's over. I know season's over. Call me. Let me know when you want to start training. You remember what Michael said? His response was, tomorrow morning, let's go.
Yeah, right? 5 a.m, we're ready.
Let's start right now. Training starts right now. See that mindset? That mindset is crazy. And then what happened that offseason? Remember what happened? That's when he recorded Space Jam. Yeah. Right, so he went and recorded the movie Space Jam. I think it was Universal Studios or one of those places in Hollywood. And he said, I'll do the movie, but you got to build the basketball court for me because I need to practice. I need to stay in shape. And what did he do? Then he would invite all of the best players to come and play pickup games with him every night after working 10 hours filming the movie. Then he would play basketball to stay in shape. And there's a rumor that said that Michael Jordan when the Dream Team was formed in 95, I think it was. I was a kid, too. 95. When the Dream, I was working at McDonald's at the time. I remember that because I had the cups and we had all the stuff.
Right.
He said he agreed to go to the Dream Team. Listen to this guy's mind, how crazy it is. Because he wanted to play with the best players in the league side by side and spend a lengthy amount of time with them so he could figure out his weaknesses. Their weaknesses so he could crush them in regular season. I mean, this guy was just competitive to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm talking about, your mindset. Your mindset is everything, your language. How you use your words determines on how you feel and the actions you take.
It's so true, man. I mean, that's such a great story. I remember there's a Denver Nuggets player, right, in the documentary. He was a rookie. Goes right up to him. Michael's doing like the pattern stuff with his hands, whatever, just like LeBron does. And it's right before they're about to, tip the ball up, right? And guy goes, again, I forgot his name, but it's like, yo, Mike, have a good game. You know what I mean? He took that as motivation. This psychotic man, this beautiful, crazy, just success-driven, unsatiable kind of confidence. He was like, have a good game? What the hell are you talking about, man? You're going to tell me to have a good game? Well, you're a rookie. And again, the rookie could have said, oh, it was just, I was just trying to, be friendly and wish you a good, genuine game. But that's the type of a type savage killer. Like Kobe Bryant has that same mentality with the Mamba mentality. You know what I mean? Where I'm going to be the deadliest snake, the most vicious. And I'm going to replicate that on the court. So, and in Kobe's mind, you got to think, obviously a black mama, it's a very venomous snake, but he captured that in his mind. His game emulates a very slithering, smooth type of player. And you can really see, oh yeah, this guy is literally a black mama. So when Kobe says that, he truly believes it. Just like Jordan believed that he's going to go out and take all the best players and find his weaknesses. That's how you get further in life. And I couldn't have said it better, man. I mean, it's a great story, but
Kobe said, I just heard this because I'm listening to a book by some of the guys I follow, Patrick Beth David, The Five Moves. And Pat interviewed him, Your Next Five Moves. And yeah, Pat interviewed him. And he said that he interviewed Kobe. And Kobe told him that by the age of 13, he knew he wanted to be a professional basketball player. And this is what Kobe did. Like, just look at the mindset, right? He took the 56th top high school players in the whole country, and he created a hit list. And he dedicated himself to surpass every single one. And by the time he was a senior in high school, right, he was number one. Like, this is the mindset, attack. I'm going to win at all costs. You know, Michael Jordan was asked, who could play you in a one-on-one? Who would you like to play you think could beat you in a one-on-one? He said, you know, I'll play LeBron, but I don't think LeBron can beat me. He said, I'll play, you know, Carmelo, Melo Anthony. He named a bunch of guys, right? A bunch of guys he said he would like to play. He liked to play a one-on-one. Then when they asked him about Kobe, he said, you know, Kobe's the only one that has a chance at beating me because Kobe copies all of my moves.
Same version, right? Yeah.
He's like, he's the only one that had a chance at beating me in their prime, right? So him in his prime and these guys in their prime. He said, Kobe's the only one that has a chance because, you know, Jordan was Kobe's, he was his mentor.
Yeah.
You know, he would call Jordan. And I saw them playing. I saw the first game when those two played in the All-Star against each other.
In 98?
In 98, I saw that game. I remember that game. I remember I didn't like Kobe because I felt he was a little bit, you know, arrogant and shit.
Yeah, young guy. Yeah,
and right. He was a young guy, really arrogant, coming after Jordan. You know, Jordan was just huge. He is still huge.
He's right? larger than life, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, this kid comes and he was talking trash to Jordan. Jordan just took it to him. I mean, the kid stepped up, though. The kid stepped up, but they became friends. And, you know, Jordan, he would call Jordan and Jordan would mentor him through his career. But talking about mindset, going back to mindset is, you know, modeling, right? Modeling. So when I talk to, when I'm coaching a new investor, per se, right? Or I'm coaching someone, because I don't just coach people for real estate. I'm coaching someone. One of the first things I have them do is, well, who is it you want to model, right? Who is it you want to be like? Like, is it this person and that one? And the first thing we do is we task them to go and give me something in writing about that person, to start studying that person. And what I'm doing there is I am forcing their own conscious mind to start seeking, to start focusing on what they want to become, because you have to model excellence, right? We believe as a coach, I teach, you have to model excellence. If you want to be the best, then you got to be around the best so you can pick up the habits of the best, their mindset. You could pick up, you know, there's a saying that says, Sean, if you have long hair and you hang out in a barber shop, eventually you're going to get a haircut.
Yep.
If you have long hair and you hang out in a barbershop, eventually you're going to get a haircut. So anyways, this my book is really to give people the strategies to help them get out of their own way. You know, like my mom, right? My mom put me out. She didn't know any better, right? She didn't know what she didn't know, right? And that's the challenge. A lot of people don't know what they don't know. And right. As a kid, like I was telling you, as a kid, right, as a 16-year-old kid, you know, I've never been to college, never stepped a day, and don't have a 4-year degree.
You're a smart man.
But as a kid, right, it was that drive, it was that desire, it was that, it is that. You know what? If they can do it, I can do it. The challenge was that when I was a younger man, there was a lot of ego involved. So there was a lot of, I could do it myself. When you're a young man, you think you know everything. And I'm not going to ask, right? But as you get older, you realize that, hey, the wise one is the one that goes and asks, hey, how are you doing that? Can you show me how to do that? How can I do this better? How can I do it faster? Because that's how you get there faster. You know, it took me a long time to understand that, to read that, because I'm very competitive, right? I'm very competitive. I want to compete. So, you know, one of my first mentors, and I'll share this with you, right? One of my first mentors, I got really lucky because I went and I got into business and sales. I got lucky because I went into sales and insurance sales, selling life insurance, one of the toughest sales you can make, right? You got to tell people they're going to die and they got to buy this from you. You're going to die. So you got to spend money and you're never going to see it, by the way. It's for your wife and kids. Mm. You're never going to see a return on your investments, but they will. It's a tough sale. And that was my school. And I remember, right, going into that business and making at 20, I made $50,000 a year, my first year, right? Made 50 grand a year. But I hit my thermostat. I hit my income capacity. In 6 months, I made 50 grand because I started in June. In June, my son was born in June. I got my license on that time. And from June to December, I made 50 grand. So I was like 20 years old, 50 grand. That's equivalent to making 100 grand. I was rich due to 1998. I was rich. And then the next year, I made 50, and then the next year I made 50, and I was poor because now I had three kids and a house, a mortgage, and all this responsibility, and making 50 grand. I wasn't making it. And there was this guy, I want you to picture this. This is Nigerian short black guy with a heavy accent. I mean, heavy ass accent. We're working in New York City. We're working downtown 42nd Street. I mean, but he would dress sharp to the nines, right? Sharp suit all the time. And he comes into our company, dude, and he starts lighting it up. I mean, he starts lighting it up. We're selling the same products. I mean, this guy is doing 40 grand a month, 35 consistently, 30 grand a month in commission. And one day, so my ego wouldn't let me go and ask him for help because I was thinking I was competing with him.
Right.
Right. I'm competing. He's my competition. You don't go to your competition for help. Right. This was my mindset back then. And then he brings on, because birds of the same feather flock together. He brings on these two other guys from a company he worked previously. And these two guys are lighting his ass up. These guys are writing 70,000 a month in commission, 70, 80, 100 consistently every month. And one day Harry, which is one of these guys, we're at a sales meeting and he, you know, the general manager has him talking to us. And, you know, that day my unconscious mind just spoke to me and I was like, you know what, man, I'm being foolish. I was 23. I was like, I'm being foolish, man. Mm-hmm. I need to just ask him what the hell. I need to put my ego aside. I'm fucking broke. I'm tired of it. You know, I remember being so broke. I was breaking my piggy banks. My wife and I would be breaking our the kids' piggy banks to pay the mortgage. That's how broke we were.
Damn,
man. And that day, after that meeting, we got back to our office in New York City. And I just went to Harry. I just humbled myself, ate a humble pie. Cause as a young man, you think you figured it out. You got it all figured out. And I was like, listen, Harry, man, can you help me, man? What am I doing wrong here? I mean, how the hell are you doing $70,000 a month consistently, month in, month out? And I can't break 50 grand a year. How are you doing that? And he looked at me and he said, are you sure you really want to know? Or are you just asking? Right? And I said, no, man, I really want to know. Seriously, I really want to know. He goes, okay, you really want to know. We spent about an hour talking, but he said, go and pick up this book and read it. And apply all of the principles you learned in that book, and then come talk to me, right? But that was the gist of the conversation. That's how he mentored me, and he gave me this book. But I was in so much pain, right, from being broke, that I immediately, at the end of the conversation, I jumped on the train, went to 66th Street, went to the Barnes and Nobles, picked up the book, and here's what happened, Sean. The name of the book was The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, right? Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. I went and I picked up that book. And I tell you, over the next 12 months, after reading that book and applying the principles I learned in that book, I made my dream income. I made $104,000 over the next 12 months at 24. And I haven't looked back since. That's when I discovered personal development. That's when I discovered the mindset. That's when I discovered this whole journey. That I just fell in love with psychology. Like you said, you like psychology. That's when I fell in love with psychology. But yeah, man, so, you know, a lot of the things I've learned through these books and these experiences, I've put them in my book. And, you know, one of my favorite books also is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. But, you know, most people know that book. That's a powerful book.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I want people to really understand that. Those principles, because I've read that same book as well, both of them, actually. And I had the same thing happen. So give you a backstory, right? I was a sophomore in college and I was like, you know what? And I don't know if I was telling this on your podcast, but I wanted to be an engineer. Now, my 20-year-old ass, I was like, I can't even do calculus. How was I going to be an engineer? I just saw that, oh, we're going to make 80 grand a year. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. And once I had that fixated number, I was like, oh my God, I'm there. I definitely want to, you know, apply myself. But I didn't understand that. I would hate my job. I would have a cap, literally with the salary cap. I would make no commission. I would not be in sales. So once I found digital marketing, I was talking to my advisor, Irene Hurd, like I was telling you about. I found that packet. I got into the company I wanted, which I now own. And from when I was 20 to 21, that summer was the most impactful summer of my life because I read that book. I was really absorbing Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, and Grant Cardone. As a matter of fact, as much as I shouldn't say disagree, but I'm more so like, you know, on the single family side of things for now, definitely going to go multifamily, you know, in a couple of years. But I was selling blockchain tickets, bro, for about $1,500, okay? And I would get, let's just say 10%, so that's $150, right, per gig. And what happened was we had a place in Atlantic City. We were going to get John McAfee, the software development guy. We were going to get a bunch of Santos Gonzalez, who runs a bunch of different coins, Litecoin. And we were just going to get all these people from blockchain. And my thing was like, oh my God, I'm making one to two sales a day. I'm making $150, $300 a day. But for me, that wasn't enough. That wasn't, you know, sustaining anything. It was just, I was like, I need more. And I felt myself kind of boxed into where I'm like, I don't know where else to go. And I exactly feel how you felt like right now. And I'm, you know, I'm damn near 20 years younger than you, where I was like, man, I'm afraid to go ask the person who, because we had someone in the across of our office. He was a, what was he? I forget, but he was selling for events. He was selling out, you know, just like a, like wine tasting events. And he was crushing. He was, you know, a typical Irishman. And he was selling wine events, any kind of liquor you could think of. And he was killing with it. So when he came to us, I'm like, listen, we're in the same event space. I'm in blockchain. You're in liquor. You're in alcohol. You know, so we're a little bit different, but same kind of thing. You know, how are you doing this, man? And I just like kind of like broke down. I'm like, man, like I gotta be honest, I'm really vulnerable here. And I took that first step, right? I took that first step to really growing and understanding. And he was like, you know, Sean, let me tell you something. I have the same energy and passion, and I used to work just as hard as you, man. But there's a certain concrete value and principles that you can understand. And once you get that, then you'll start to, you know, obviously develop. So throughout that whole summer, bro, he took me in every single week, every Friday. You know, every Friday, no one's in the office, like small companies, so some people are working from home. My ass, not only would I show up early, I would show up to the office around 6:30 in the morning. I would stay till like 7, bro. And I would get lectured, I would get mentored. The guy would be looking at my process. And I was kind of blessed that for him to, you know, take me over. But it's the same thing, man. After a while, I started making, I think we sold about, I personally sold, I made about like, I think 75 just that summer in like 3 or 4 months. And again, it was one of the most successful blockchain conferences of all time in Atlantic City. And it just goes to show you, you know, anyone can learn these principles. You just have to have, you know, the guts and the courage. And, you know, there is a lot of ego at play. There's so much ego at play, but you have to put that aside and you really have to, you know, grasp. Because like, and the thing that I try to do too is I'll raise my hand and say, listen, I don't know everything in the world. I'm not some brilliant guy like Elon Musk, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to have people teach me because I'm humble. And I never want to, you know, I always say this, Martin, when I have kids, however many kids I have, beautiful boils I have, I'm not going to give them too much money where they can't learn it from themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so powerful, where they can learn and grow and understand truly the same principles that I learned when I was a kid, because I want them to struggle in a sense of learning. You know, physically, I don't want them to struggle. I don't want to, you know, have them living on the street, unfortunately, like you did for, you know, a period of your time. But I want them to learn, and just like I did. And if I give them too much, then they're just gonna say, yeah, okay, dad, and go buy off like with a Mercedes or something. They're gonna not understand the value of money. They're not gonna understand the value of communication and building relationships and networking. And you know, entrepreneurship or not, man, these are principles that you're gonna learn. You know, you need them to be successful in life. Period. I don't care what kind of.
Are you seeing a lot of your peers, the guys you went to school with, that are like that? That their mommy and daddy gave them everything, and
you look at them now, man, and they're on drugs. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. So where I live right now, bro, it's called White Marsh Township, right? All Jewish community for the most part. I went to bar mitzvahs, the whole bit. People would spend like $50,000 in one night, right? It's crazy. And I learned firsthand that the guys who, sure, were their kids, they were living it up, oh, we have this, all this money. Now they're struggling, they just graduated college, they're struggling to get a job, they're struggling to, you know, build themselves up. And a lot of that comes from, oh, we just had everything handed to us. We don't have any, you know, useful resources. And dude, it's crazy. I mean, there's a couple people who I went to high school with who, you know, have the same kind of mentality that me and you do, but it's rare. I mean, and I guess the first step really is to understand that if you want to be something, yeah, you can be it. Just like, you know, Kobe Bryant's dad, you know, said to him. And Kobe was like, yeah, I mean, I want to be the best basketball player in the world, but I got to work my ass off, man, day in and day out. And I'll tell you a story. You remember, it's not with The Last Dance, but with Kobe. I think it was like 96 or 97, whatever, playing the Utah Jazz, right? And Shaq's on the team. They're in Utah. You have John Stockton, Jeff Hornacek. You have all these great, Karl Malone.
Oh, man, that was a squad back then. We had some really good players in the NBA in those in the 90s.
Bro, they had some ballers, man. I mean, if Jordan wasn't in the mix, they definitely would have won. You know, they would have had that three-peat, in my opinion. But that's a conversation for another day. 2 seconds left. They're in the huddle. Shaq's like, yo, just like, give me the ball, post up, one dribble, bang. Kobe's like, nah, I got this. And they took a chance on the young kid. So what happened, inbound it, Kobe gets the top of the key, fires, air ball. He's in an opposing arena. Not only does he air ball and miss the shot, but he's getting booed. He's getting ridiculed from his teammates, from everyone you can think of. I mean, think of how horrible you have to feel. You miss the game-winning shot to lose the series, right? You're going in the locker room. You know, people are probably throwing shit at you and stuff. You know what Kobe did that night? He went to his old high school. He went to his old school right when he got off the plane. It's like 3-4 in the morning. Texted his janitor. He's like, just let me in, man. I gotta shoot. And he shot all day, man. He shot all day and night. And obviously that was a therapeutic thing, but it was also just like Jordan did after he came back from the Sox. He's like, man, I gotta get to work. He's like, my legs aren't under me. That's what I need to do. So, and it goes true because we only, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert here in terms of the mind. We can, you know, in terms of success and failure, there's so many ways to really define that. You know, if you want to take a failure like it with Kobe had with the air ball and not translate that into some good progress with, you know, shooting and understanding fundamentals, understanding what he needs to do to take that next step. He could have easily said, no, I'm going to, you know, just be a mediocre player and be average. So it's really interesting. And I think that you need to accept, yeah, you don't know everything, but you also need to work your butt off. And those failures that come, great. Fail often, fail early, learn from that, and then just continue on the next path. Don't get discouraged. So it's so true.
Yeah, you shared a lot of really good nuggets there, man. You know, and the rituals, right? Rituals are also important, Sean. You know, yeah. What, you know, one of the things that I will share with your audience is that successful people are never, really successful people, truly successful people, are never afraid to share with and give what they have and share what they're doing. They're never really afraid to share because really successful, really fulfilled, really high achievers, they are so confident within their skills and what they're doing. And they also understand one thing, that just because I give you something doesn't mean, and I tell you, you got to wake up at 5 and you got to do this, you got to do that. Also, you know, it also takes something. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can do it. Just because I tell you to do it, I read 48 books last year, right? Something like that. 48 books last year. Now, does that mean that, hey, I tell you, go read this book, you're going to go read it? Go listen to this audio, you're going to go listen to it? You know, go do this, you're going to go do it? We realize that only the people that have a lot of hunger are going to go do it, right? And not everyone has the capacity to do it. You know, people, The Last Dance, people hated playing with Michael. People hated being on Michael's team because he would just push them to the max. You know, he would push him, and if they didn't perform, he was borderline bully.
Punch Steve Kerr in the face, man.
I know. He's borderline bully, right? That's not my style, but, you know, that's just, you know, dude, you're going to play at my level or don't play, you'll play with me at all. Get out. You know, if he said something about there's no I in team, he says, but there's I in win, right? That was his response. We're going to win at all costs, right? We're going to win at all costs. So successful people, they're never afraid to tell you what they're doing. They're never really afraid to tell you what they're doing, how they're doing it. So if you're out there and you're thinking and you're in your office and you work at an office, you got a job, a sales job or something like that, and you're struggling, man, the one thing I'm gonna tell you is go to the top sales guy, the top sales manager, whoever the top person, and it takes a lot of courage to do this. Go to that person, say, can I buy you lunch? Spend $20, $30 on lunch. Can I buy you lunch? Can I buy you coffee? Right? And take them out for coffee and then get in their head. Ask them, what would you recommend me to do? What would you tell me to do? What books are you reading? What's your morning day like? What's your routine like? How do you plan your week? Like, you got to ask these questions, because here's the thing, guys. 1 + 1 = 2, and no matter what language, no matter where you go in the world, 1 + 1 = 2. If you take and you do the same things that they're doing, you're going to get the same results. It's just science. If you take and you do the same things they're doing, you're going to get the same results, right? If you keep doing the same things you're doing, you're going to keep getting the same results. So is it going to be comfortable? A lot of the time it's not. You know, when I discovered reading personal development, you know, I didn't like reading. So remember, I was a CD student in high school, right? So I didn't like reading. So when he said I had to read a book, I was in so much pain though for being broke that I was ready. I was primed. Okay, let me go read. And when I discovered that, I became a bookworm. I was like, wait a minute. This is the way I was thinking. If reading one book like this and these strategies, oh my gosh, how much more can I do? Like, how much more will I learn? Like, how much dangerous can I be, right?
Yeah. That's a great line. I like that. How dangerous can you be? How lethal can you be?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And the thing that you were saying too, man, is so true. Warren Buffett has a great line. He says, no one wants to get rich slow. You know, no one wants to take that path of, oh, I laid out my entire investment strategy, like you were saying. One of the most richest people in the history of the world, Warren Buffett. And he led up the strategy, but a lot of young people today, man, people don't want to take that long road and you know, do that. And it's true too. I mean, I listen, man, I'm in that stage too, where I'm constantly, like, for instance, I just took out Alan Dom, one of the top, you can Google him, man. He's a $100 million, annual portfolio for his team. He focuses more on condos. And he's crazy, man. I mean, he's amazing, and I mentored under him. And the big thing I was telling him, Mark, was I want to earn a mentorship with you. You know, I whether that's through, like, I guess some kind of like monetary value or me like working for you for free, I'm willing to do that, but I want to earn it. I just don't want to be given it to me because, like, oh, I'm some young hustler entrepreneur. I want to earn it, truly, because I obviously respect you. I value it. I don't take it for granted. And honestly, that's it. So...
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I want to leave you with this before we go, Sean. Going back to your listeners, if there's someone in their life that they like to model, go to them. But you know, you can't go to someone like me and be like, mentor me, right? Because like, I'm busy. I'm running multiple businesses. I'm doing much. You can't go to people that are doing what you want and just be like, oh, mentor me. It doesn't work that way, right? What I would suggest is provide value first. Figure out what is it that you're good at. So maybe you're digital, maybe you're a young person and you're good at social media, you're good at digital stuff, you're good at whatever you're good at, right? Say, listen, you know, hey, Sean, listen, I this is what I'm good at, and I'd love to offer it to you and see how I could provide value to you and in exchange to let me follow you around so I can learn how you do things. Can I help you with your digital marketing? Can I help you maybe even getting your coffee for you? Can I help you running some errands for you? In exchange, I just want to follow you around and learn some of the things you're doing so I can spend some time with you and I can figure out what are some of the things, how you do it, what you think, how you manage certain things, and I can learn from you. Is that okay? And 9 out of 10 times, if you position yourself in that way, they'll be like, okay, yep, I can do that for you. You know what I mean? But you got to offer value first.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, let me buy you coffee. You know, let me take you to lunch. What can I do for you? Is there anything I could do for you? Where do you need help with? Where are you? What can I do for you in exchange? Let me just follow you around and learn from you.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's what I've been doing too. And I would definitely encourage, my entrepreneurial people out there and people in general. I mean, if you want to get ahead in life, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in engineering or any type of field, man, take that person out for lunch, you know, spend that $20, $30. You want to spend that $20, $30 out drinking, you know, spend it to better use, you know, so That's good stuff.
You get one idea. You get one idea from that person, one strategy. That one strategy can change your life, can change your career, can that one thing for you having the courage, be courageous enough to step up and ask someone that's doing what you want to do for coffee, for lunch, how you can serve them, how you could be of value to them first. And then they might give you one thing, and that's the one thing that you may be needing in your life right now, right then and there, that can shift and pivot your whole career. Your whole life can change. Ask me how I know, because I've been there.
Yeah, that's well said, my man. Listen, it was a pleasure talking, Martin. I'm definitely going to hit you up with a bunch of clients for sure and just get acclimated with your whole system. Before we go, where can people find you? Social media, website?
One of the places where I have a lot of my content, my podcast is on there, and a lot of my real estate stuff is on there, is StroudsburgREI.com. That's StroudsburgREI for real estate investors.com. Go there. I have, if you want to learn how to invest passively in real estate. So I'm a real estate guy, right? I'm a real estate guy, and I'm a mindset guy. I'm a mindset guy first, right? You want to learn how to work with me, just go there. You want to learn how to invest passively. Maybe you have a beautiful career. You love what you're doing. And you're like, you know, I like to invest in real estate because real estate is one of those things. Everyone knows, Sean. Everyone knows that real estate is 80 to 90% of millionaires are made through real estate. New millionaires are made through real estate. So people want to invest, but you need to invest with people that know what they're doing and have the experience. So go there, go to Strasbourg. You want to check out my events. I'm also hosting a goal setting and a strategies event on November 13th and 14th of 2020. It's a 2-day event. We're going to spend 2 days, man. I'm going to go inside your head, right? I'm going to go inside your head, and we're going to root out all of your limiting beliefs. We're going to root out a lot of your limiting thoughts. We're going to root out, and you're going to get clarity around 2021 so you can go towards your goals fast, right? And I'm going to teach you how to manage your mindset. I'm going to teach you how to manage the negative voice, the limiting voice. I'm going to teach you all of those things. We're going to do business strategies. I'm going to be teaching how to plan your week, how to be intentional in your week, your month, your year, your quarter, everything. So it's going to be a great event. And this is one of the ways I give back, Sean, right? I give back by, I could do more by holding a 2-day event and helping, 50, 100 people than one-to-one. It takes me a lot of time. And a lot of people they want me to help them. They want me to mentor them, want me to coach them. And I can't take everyone because I'm running my business.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, it was an absolute pleasure. Call me there when you have that event. I'll definitely be there for sure. Martin, it was an absolute pleasure, man. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Peace, guys.